Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
As the Commanders build a foundation for success on and off the field, it is time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm, Kondorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We've got a rally in Bethesda at Caddy's on Cordell tomorrow. Excuse me, on Friday.
Friday.
All week long, I've been saying tomorrow for everything. Doesn't matter what day. But we're actually doing it on Friday, as you'd imagine. It's a Friday field trip.
Right.
From 2 to 6:30.
It would make sense that it would take place on Friday. Caddy's on Cordell, right there in the heart of Bethesda. Longtime iconic sports bar. We'll be there broadcasting.
You can listen to the NFC Championship game live on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on The Fan. We've got the broadcast. Ian Eagle on the call with Kurt Warner in the booth. Ross Tucker on the sideline for Westwood One. Listen to every snap of the NFC title game right here on The Fan all day on Sunday. But speaking of the NFC Championship game, one of the guys that's going to help get the Commanders over the hump and in to the Super Bowl is Austin Eckler, who joins us, presented by IT Cadre for trusted insight from trusted insiders. IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Let's put our hands together for Austin.
That's Austin Eckler's music.
That's Austin Eckler, boys and girls. Put some respect on his damn name. 1%
hey,
better every
on,
single
bud?
Day.
Hey,
Austin,
buddy.
I want to ask you a serious
no
question.
Doubt.
No one has ever been harder to tackle than you were on Saturday night in Detroit. So, did you wear your "you can't tackle me" cologne? Did you dip into butter right before the game? Was there Vaseline on your jersey and arms? Why couldn't the Lions tackle you?
Oh, hey, I mean, that's probably why I've been around the league for as long as I have, is one of my strong points is being pretty elusive, you know. It's not to say they couldn't tackle me, but I definitely don't make it easy, that's for sure.
Damn right about that. That was awesome. You were incredible.
I think it was your first touch of the game. It was very like, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. It was like Friday Night Lights movie reel moment, where he kind of like did this like full speed spin out of a tackle and then like completely stopped for a second. Like, oh, I'm still going. And
yep.
then kept going.
Yep.
It looked like it was like a director yep. made you do that cut like three times and they shot it in the perfect way.
You know, I've hit the spin move. I think, yeah, I caught the ball out in space and I was actually surprised how wide open it was. So I started getting vertical. And then there was two guys kind of coming to like compression tackle me from each side. Hung a right. One guy got my leg, spun out of that. Kind of reset my feet, started going forward again, and then De'Ami Brown gets pushed down into my legs, tried to Heisman hurdle him, and then he ended up getting me on the ground. So friendly fire got me on that one.
So, Austin, take me back to before this game. Detroit's great. I mean, they earned the number one seed. They're awesome. They've been awesome all year long. The place is going bananas. There's a confidence, though. There's an attitude, whatever you want to call it with you guys, where nothing's too big, nothing's too scary. What's the mood like before the game going up against this great opponent who's now in your rearview mirror? But take me back there to Saturday night before kickoff. What are you guys feeling? What's being said?
Yeah, you know, for us, it was, hey, we're out here hunting. Like, that is the mindset. Like, we are hunting to go earn right, some respect on our team. You know, really people are saying, oh, you know, this is, you know, good enough for the Commanders. We didn't expect anything from them this year anyway. And so for us, like, that's all just crowd noise. Like, for us, we are hunting to go win games. We are hunting to continue to go prove, hey, that we have some heavy hitters out here. And that's the mindset this week as well. And it's go out and let's hunt. Right, the Eagles are now in our way. You know, they're another team that, kind of like the Lions, have proven themselves over the past, you know, few years, established themselves, and we're on the same type of mindset as well.
Austin, what is the key to being able to go to an environment that's that loud and that raucous and not allowing it to phase you? You guys weren't having false start penalties all game long. You answered the bell time and time again. I mean, dating back really to week three in Cincy, and I remember in the first half you were such a big part of that as well. Like, you guys just kept getting up off the mat. That was an electric atmosphere. What are the difference between the teams that can handle that and the teams that can't?
Yeah, you know, there's some perks into our offense that are kind of built in for going into loud environments. And, you know, from day one, we were a no-huddle offense. So guess what? I don't even have to talk to anybody out there on the field. We can already run our offense, you know. Same with Jade. He can call the plays. We don't have to say a word. Everything's on signals. And so, I mean, it can be we could, you know, have the loudest stadium, you know, wherever that is, and it doesn't matter for us, right? For us, it's an energy. It's an energy that, hey, everyone's loud, excited. That's great because, you know, we're using this energy as fuel for us. But for us, we can get lined up and operate at the same pace because we don't have to get in a huddle and talk to each other like some of these teams do. So for us, it really doesn't matter. I think it's fun because, hey, everyone's going crazy. It's loud. It's, like, again, like I said, an energy that we can feed into. And I think our team does pretty well in that environment.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. Yeah, the fact you're going to the NFC title game kind of speaks to that, Austin. Is there more pressure when you're playing an offense like that? And what I mean is it would feel to me a pudgy zilch that can't do anything you guys can do. But, hey, they're going to score every time. We have to. Did you feel that dynamic at all where you know that Detroit offense is really good? You guys are really good too. But was there an extra added pressure that you guys kind of had to match them?
I mean, the pressure is already at a maximum. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you could add more pressure. It would just feel the same at this point, you know, especially where we're at right now. I mean, it's the ultimate pressure, and that's where it kind of feels like, you know, pretty much the whole way through the playoffs is this is, hey, you know, advance or go home. And for us, yeah, we know that, hey, they're a heavy-hitting offense. Well, guess what? We are too, and we kind of showed even with the game versus Tampa, like keeping them off the field, we know they did a really good job with time of possession. And how do you, you know, win the time of possession battle? Well, it means moving the sticks and not turning the ball over. And so that's something that's been emphasized for us the entire year and really showed up in both of our playoff games so far.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan going into the NFC Championship game, just like we all expected in year one of this regime. Running the football has been such a talking point, not only in this segment, but for everybody, for the last several weeks, you guys just hadn't really been able to get the ground game going. But, man, did that change in a big way. B-Rob looked like he was shot out of a cannon. You had a lot of success. How do you carry that over now against probably a tougher front like Philadelphia is going to bring to the table?
Yeah, you just go back and look at the matchups. You know, I hate to beat the dead horse here, and I know talk about matchups and looking at different game plans and based off of matchups and things like that every week, but that's the game we play. You know, where do we feel like we can exploit some of their weaknesses and where do we want to stay away from things that they might be better at than we are? And so I know, you know, just for myself, you know, looking at the linebackers and then when I played them, you know, I've been able to, you know, have success out and get in space. So it's like, okay, that's probably going to be something we're trying to do. Hey, let's get Austin in space. And that's kind of one of been my strengths for, you know, as long as I've been in the league. And so it'll be more things like that. How do we draw up plays for our players and their strengths? And same thing in the run game, you know, are we going to, you know, attack the edges? Are we going to attack, you know, right, the middle? Are we going to use some misdirection? Are we going to use some guard pull stuff? You know, and it'll probably be a combination of that because you want to keep them on their toes. But that's the best part about, you know, going through the week and looking at the game plan and sitting down with Cliff and everyone else and, you know, deciding, okay, these types of plays are going to be run the red zone. This is kind of open field. These are third down runs. And just kind of seeing it all come together is pretty cool to be a part of.
Austin, only real bummer from the game is Sam Cosmi going down. Just stinks. You feel for the guy. As you guys are, experiencing such a high, what's it like in game when there's a change in front of you as a running back looking at that offensive line and then kind of going forward? How does it change you guys' approach or what you might be able to do this weekend?
Yeah, it's obviously unfortunate, for anyone, to have significant injury like that. And it definitely changes. It changes because that was one of our starters and he was a starter for a reason, signed a contract this year. So really established himself as one of the dominant, guards in the league. And, when you lose a guy like that, it's definitely tough, and Trent will step up. He filled that role when he went out and, did his job. We're able to continue to, find success running the ball and continue to hold on to that lead. And it's the next man up mentality. But, yeah, just as far as we go, Sam's still there with us, in the building, cheering us on, still has his energy in there. So we know we'll have that from him, but, won't have to see him on the field, which is unfortunate, but also, part of the game, unfortunately.
Austin, are you at a point where nothing Jaden Daniels can do impresses you or kind of takes you aback anymore? I know the rest of the country is just getting used to him, but on that stage to play the game he did, even for those of us that have kind of seen that become old hat, that was a new amazing height for him.
Yeah, I think this is why the NFL is so popular, is because even though you're expecting – amazing things, when you still see them, you're still amazed. You're like, dang, that was a really great play. And it's the same thing with Jaden. He's established himself, even this early in his career as, a dynamic player that continues to make plays and is flashy and has poise and, can get the job done. And even when we know that, when he does it, you're still like, wow, that was cool. And it's the same thing as being his teammate, man. It's been such a great pleasure to be, in the backfield with him, watching him do his thing and helping him make some plays out there.
What's gotten into Jerry Rice? I mean, De'Ami Brown.
Hey, man, he's put himself in a position. Hey, he's proven that he's got what it takes to continue to play at a high level. And so that's what he's going out there doing. He's been showing out for us, these past couple weeks, and really putting a statement on his name of being a playmaker in big games.
When did you guys know? I mean, I think every team gets together with optimism. You guys are pro athletes. You're not built to think of negative things. You're always looking ahead, and you keep driving, and your work ethic's all is so incredible. But when did you get the feeling, Austin, just you personally, where you go, you know what? This isn't just a good team. This is special. Like, when did you know?
Well, I think there's levels to it, or maybe different stages to it. I think, during training camp and going through that type of environment, you start to see kind of the philosophies of Dan Quinn and the coaching staff of, okay, this is how we're going to run our team. This is how we're going to talk about brotherhood, coming together. These are kind of the expectations of what practice should look like. And when you start to kind of build those fundamental blocks of what the team looks like, you can kind of start to see, okay, what kind of season this is going to be. As far as like, am I going to enjoy coming into work, or is it like, oh gosh, like, is everyone tight, or is it relaxed, or is it like, what is that feeling? And so, from early on, it was set up as a feeling of, okay, hey, we have this brotherhood. We're all bought in. If you're bought into the brotherhood, right, you're going to be accepted. You're going to really love being here. And so that's pretty much what our roster has done. And then now we put that on the field and, hey, how can we adapt around our new offense, our new quarterback, and really start to put this together? Because we don't really have an understanding, because there's so many new guys and new offense and all this new stuff. We don't really have an understanding of our capabilities yet, so we got to go continue to build that. So that's what we've been doing, and we continue to push our own bar forward of the standard and the expectation and the capabilities. And that comes down to, again, the fundamentals of the brotherhood that we have, and then now put the talent on top, put the scheme on top, and we've just continued to push ourselves forward, and we've gotten to new stages of new expectations for ourselves because we've shown up and shown that our capabilities are actually pretty far out as far as what we were able to do. So it's been pretty awesome and a kind of a developing type of process for us to see how special this team has been.
Austin Ekeler, presented by IT Cadre, joining us on Grant and Danny. Austin, I know all eyes for you are on now the Philadelphia Eagles, but I am curious, just to get your thoughts, in the news over the last 24 hours, Anthony Lynn's name has come back up as a head coaching candidate with the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, Cliff Kingsbury's been in the mix as well. Two of your coaches and guys that have helped you this season. Just curious to get your thoughts. You know Lynn very well from your time with the Chargers. You know about whether or not you feel like, you know, he should get another shot and what kind of head coach he would make if he got another run. And then Kingsbury as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I can't even speak on it right now. I don't know. That's like me talking free agency, and we're still, you know, trying to win games out here. And so for me, it's like, hey, that's great. I'm hoping you guys have some opportunities. Maybe you'll take them, maybe not. But right now, hey, help us win this dang game. Like, that's where I need your focus. And so, you know, in the future, if that's what they decide to do and they want to go pursue those, they probably would both make great opportunity or a great fit for somebody. But like, hey, let's focus now. Let's focus now. Focus here.
Along those lines, there's been a lot of talk about maybe changing the way that the coaching cycle works, where like you can't interview anybody until after the Super Bowl, because that way, you know, there's not a disadvantage for the guys that, like Cliff, I think is doing it the right way. He basically said, I'm not talking to anybody until the season's over for us. Do you think they should do it that way?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense, right? It makes sense. Like if someone's interviewing for a job and they're like, oh, I'll take it. And it's like, well, we actually wanted to interview other people too. And they're like, well, this guy is willing. And so should we take them? He's already here. We don't have to compete as much now. You know, it kind of, I feel like makes it an environment that's, like you said, not as fair for the people that are still in the actual, in the tournament, because this, you can't expect those guys to be able to even have a chance to go and, you know, do interviews and stuff like that, because they got to focus on their team, which they should be. So I think it should be, yeah, something a little bit more like kind of like a free agent type date, where it's like, hey, here's the date. After that, conversations can open. You know, you can still have maybe some preliminary talks of who's interested type thing like that, but maybe no official interviews. So I don't know. That's just me talking out of, you know, something I don't really know too much about.
I think it's smart, man. I think you're right.
I think like you could do it the day or two after the season, and because it is a lot of times as these, you know, coaches, coordinators, for the really good teams like Washington, you know, it's the best teams ever. The teams that don't lose, the teams that go months without losing, the teams that are insurmountable juggernauts like the Commanders, that are the best ever, you know. Those teams, then the guys, they get screwed over a little bit sometimes. It does happen.
Yeah, you know, I could see that, you know, being a thing. I think coaching, you know, in the NFL is kind of handled really by ownership in that side. Like, there's no union or anything like that. So it's kind of the Wild West over there. You know, they don't have to say how much they're paying people or anything like that. So, you know, it's a whole topic of discussion that, you know, us as players luckily don't have to get involved in, because it's just probably even more of a mess. But yeah, so hopefully they get it figured out over there.
Austin, one listener question here. What's it like playing a team for a third time?
I was talking to Jerzon Newton in the locker room about that. He's like, man, third time playing these guys. I'm like, hey, well, at least now we know who they are. You know, like, right. We know their players. You know, we know what they're about. We know their strengths, weaknesses, things like that. So game planning, I'm sure for the coaches too, is a little bit easier, because you know what to expect. And so, yeah, I think it's really cool, because, you know, it's a team that's in our division, and now we're kind of like, hey, the new kid on the block, the new arrival. So I know it was like for, you know, with the Chargers and KC, we were always chasing them. And now we're still chasing, you know, that team that's kind of been in that seat. And now we have an opportunity to knock them off in one of the biggest games of the year.
One more IT Cadre listener question for Austin Eckler. Somebody wants to know, have you used the VR technology and put on those goggles that Jaden wears? We had a guy on yesterday telling us all about how he does this for hours every week, and it prepares him for the game. It's amazing technology. Have you actually worn those goggles at all and looked at what it looks like?
I have not. I have not. I imagine it's a little different for running back, though, than it is for quarterback. Because, I mean, for me, I'm reading different gaps and things like that, and I have to run. A quarterback, you can at least, you know, stand there and kind of get a feel of, you know, the front and stuff like that, maybe some coverage and things that are, you know, beyond the line of scrimmage. So, no, I haven't gotten into it, but it sounds like, you know, it's been popping up a lot lately. I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe media is trying to, like, pinpoint, like, man, why is this kid so good? You know, if it's something that's really helping him, he's really using it like that, then, you know, good for him. I hope he keeps doing it.
Awesome. Awesome as always, man. Really cool that you guys are going to the conference championship game, and we get to talk to you about it, dude. This is great. Keep it up, man. It's been fun.
Let's do it, man. Let's keep it going.
One more.
Appreciate you, buddy.
You're playing in the Super Bowl. Austin Eckler, awesome all season long, presented by IT Cadre, with us here on Grant and Danny. IT Cadre's trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. Eckler was just splendid in Detroit.
He was awesome, man. That huge, I think, was it the first play of the series that he ripped off that 35-yard run?
I think it was.
To kind of get him going again. Because, again, we look at the double-digit lead and the score, and you go, oh, Washington dominated that game. There's still moments where it's nip and tuck, right? I think, I can't remember if Detroit had just scored or whatever happened preceding that, but I remember going, oh, okay, breath of air. We can all relax a little bit because he just made a play. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff it takes to win games like that.
How costly is the Sam Cosmi injury going to be? Let's get into that next on G&D.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Matthew Berry is on the show at 6 o'clock, NBC Sports. He is a longtime fan of this organization. He's taken a lot of heat over the years for publicly on networks like ESPN and NBC, being a big then Redskins fan.
Yeah, he paid his dues, man. He caught some guff.
Looking forward to talking with him. We're getting ready for the NFC Championship game on Sunday. Do you have plans shaping up yet for how you're going to watch the game?
Everybody was kind of talking about doing something for the divisional round, ended up not materializing. Everybody had sporting events and games and stuff. Now everyone's kind of going, well, we should probably all do the exact same thing we just did to kind of continue this ride. So it'll probably end up me being feet up after all my kids' sporting events with, some untasty diet food and a lot of anxiety.
Because you watched at home, yeah? I mean, after the kids went to bed solo.
That's right. Pretty much, yeah.
In a dark room.
That's right. My wife was there for the first half, tapped out. But this is 3 o'clock, so it's like everyone has their games,
That's true.
We'll get right home, and my feet is the...
Please tell me you're not at a game at 3 o'clock.
We'll get home right at 3.
Oh, my God.
We'll get home right at 3.
What if it's like 3:14?
Yeah, you know, we'll pause.
I guess the kickoff's probably 3:30, right?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's slated time is 3, but we got the old DVR pause button. We'll be all right.
Would there be any situation where you just bail on whatever is and I say, I'll see you at the house?
Would there be a situation?
In other words, like, if you're going to miss kickoff, would you just say, you guys have been great.
Right.
I'll be at the house.
Tell one of the other parents at the game, would you mind giving my son a ride home?
Exactly.
Yeah, you could see that.
Okay.
But the game's local. It's like really close by. So I feel like I think it's fine. Be like, listen, it's cold out, but could you just walk back home by yourself?
I just don't like the rushing to sit down in time for kickoff.
That I get.
I need to be in my spot. I got a way. I got a way I like to do things. I want the chips and the dip out. I want the Coke Zero in the glass with the ice, with the Redskins logo on the glass. I want, if I could say it in the voice you like to say it in, my feet is up.
My feet is up.
I like my feet up on the ottoman in front of me, right? Or I'm in the recliner chair that I want. I've got my laptop right to my kind of my left on a little folding, like wooden...
it's like a little place for if you want to eat dinner in front of the TV.
Like old people that live like by themselves and watch TV all the time use to like eat their dinner off of.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my great aunt Helen had one. What the hell is it called? What is that thing?
It's not a table. I know exactly what you're talking about.
A stand? A folding stand?
Portable stand? Stephen King's The Stand?
What did great aunt Helen eat her food off of? Call my dad real quick and see.
I think it's a vestibule.
It's where she would keep like her shoehorn underneath of it.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The veranda. I don't know.
But you know what I'm talking about, Darius? It's like a TV dinner stand. Like a folding TV.
Yeah, yeah. I have one that I use. I don't know what it's called.
Do you eat off of it?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, silly.
It's a TV dinner stand.
So I use it.
I think that's what I call it. It's a TV dinner stand. Yeah.
Okay, that's what we'll call it.
Yeah.
I use it exclusively for my laptop.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever eaten anything off of it.
You won't eat something off of it.
You should eat something off
of it. That's what a coffee table's for. I have a gigantic coffee table.
You eat off your coffee table?
The problem I'm going to have is that my kids hear the words chips and dip, and they come a-running. And they don't just dip the chip into the dip and then eat it.
Those digits in there, too?
Those fingers and those hands. I can't tell you how many times within seconds of that hell of a good dip opening. And I'm not going to bring the whole tub, right? But I'll spoon it out into the ramekin.
You know ramekin, but you don't know the TV stand.
I was about to say, how the hell do I pull ramekin?
You know ramekin. There's an HDTV element of things, too, where there's like some word that everybody says all the time. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, how was everyone just casually saying this thing? It's like some sort of covering for a porch.
Yeah.
It's like this word. I'm like, what is that?
Awning.
No, not even awning. It's like, is this some sort of accoutrement on a castle where it's like a portcullis or a moat or something? How is everyone just saying this word? And everyone said the word ramekin. Like, how does anyone know that word?
McKinley will come over and she just walks. I'm like, she's got an entire hand of dip. And I'm like, not only do I now have to clean this, but more important, daddy's got no dip.
The dip's ruined. Ruined.
My son comes running down the steps. He like hears it from a mile away. Tippies and dippies.
Tippies and dippies. When he hears that tippies and dippies crack open, he comes a-running. Now, he doesn't hear you when you say go to bed. He doesn't hear you when you say come on downstairs, tie your shoes, brush your teeth.
He actually normally brings them. He'll bring me the daddy wagga and the Tippies and Dippies.
What's the Daddy Waga?
That's Coke Zero.
Oh, it's Coke Zero.
That's Daddy
Daddy's
water. Yeah.
I see.
I call it Daddy's water. You can't have it. For a lot of people, that would be like alcohol or something.
I was going to say it's your Budweiser.
It's just Coke Zero.
It's your Bud Heavy.
I think I'm going to be at the game, though, at the link. This is one of those, it's close enough, you got to be there.
You got to get in there and cough on everybody that works for Philadelphia. I think that's the play. You got to get in there and spread whatever you got to those Eagles people and Eagles fans, to the media.
That would have been last week.
I suppose.
I got nothing to spread anymore.
You just could have done a public service and gone to Philly for no reason.
Well, somebody did say to me, they're like, can you imagine if you did go to the game in Detroit, getting over the flu,
mm-hmm.
but still possibly contagious?
Oh, you were fully flued.
Gutted it out. But then you go in the locker room and you're like interviewing the players. And then it just spreads like wildfire.
A flu super spreader event allegedly happened in Detroit. With more on this story, here comes.
All right. Yeah. And then Jaden Daniels either can't play or plays terribly because he's got the flu in the NFC Championship game. And like for 30 years, I'm known as
the
guy
Paulson flu.
That gave like Eckler, Daniels, Ertz, and Terry all the flu.
Yeah. That was on the table. So I'm glad you didn't go. But now.
Me too.
But now you're going to go. Hopefully you're fine by Sunday.
I'm in a good place. I think everything's cool. I just can't stop coughing.
I was going to say, you've coughed more times than anybody in the history of coughs.
It comes and it goes. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not going. Do you know what I mean? Like today it has arrived and it's maintained residence.
Well, I understand.
It hasn't left the building at all.
It's like a snowstorm hovering over us.
Seriously.
Just inches compiling now.
Just a cold snap.
But I'm saying, like, there are segments where you wouldn't know I have a cough. This happens to be a segment where, my God, three words in every sentence, I just can't speak anymore.
I know.
So we've had multiple people call in, and I have also looked it up on the Google web. It is called a TV dinner tray table. That's what it's called. A TV dinner tray table.
Okay.
Tray table.
So I was looking for a word that doesn't exist, basically.
No, like I understand that's the full official name, like a four word that no one's ever called it that.
I think so. A tray table sounds right, honestly.
But that's for a plane. Your tray table's an up and locked position. Like that's a tray table.
Oh, that's a good point. This is also a tray table.
But with like two other words in there, like a stand.
Also, I want to say something else about not going to Detroit.
All right.
And this is going to rub some people the wrong way.
TV tray table stance.
Yeah. So I did the right thing by not going to Detroit. We all agree.
Oh, you're going to do the bit?
Well, it's not a bit.
Uh-oh.
It's real. But I'm going to say the thing that you think I'm
going to
say.
Here we go.
I told Danny this the other day. It has come to my realization that Michael Jordan's flu game would have never happened. Okay? And the reason is society wouldn't have allowed it to happen. You understand this? So Michael Jordan played sick, right? And we view him as a hero. He palms up against Portland, right? He goes out. He's sick. He's gotten through it. He's throwing up on the bench. And you know, Scottie Pippen is like holding him up while as he's puking into towels and stuff. In 2025, the story wouldn't be that Michael Jordan had this heroic effort. It would be what a selfish guy Michael Jordan is for going to work sick. Because how dare anyone go to work ever, by the way, in 2025, number one. But number two, like, everyone I said, I was like, I think I'm going to try to gut it out and the idea that I would even consider, well, you can't possibly. You could get someone else sick. People get sick. Act accordingly. I gotten sick a lot. You don't see me doing investigations to find out who got me sick. Where did it start? How did it start? Here's what happens. Someone gets sick, then someone else gets sick. Then you get better or you don't get better. You're probably going to get better, though, if it's the flu. End of story. Enough with the third degree on, you know, how could you possibly go do that? Because I have a job to do. Because it's an important day. Because, God forbid, I see the most important football game in 33 years. But no, it's about, let's all protect everyone from getting the flu. Michael Jordan's flu game wouldn't be possible in this era because you guys would be worried that B.J. Armstrong might get sick. That he might put Scottie Pippen at risk. You're focusing on the wrong thing. That's all. So I'm like texting. They're like, are you going to go? I'm like, I don't think I can. And they're like, you're too sick? I said, no, because I'll get too much crap from every person I ever talked to after that for being selfish and mean and not just staying home. What would Michael Jordan have done? Bet you his fat ass would have been on the plane to Detroit.
Michael Jordan was in pretty good shape at the
time. Well, I'm Michael Jordan.
Oh, okay, you're Jordan in this case.
My ass is the fat one.
A couple things. It was in Utah. at the hotel. And remember from The Last Dance, it was actually the bad pizza that he ate.
But nobody knew that during the time.
No one else knew it. Now, it's not. He didn't get on the plane and go through the terminal and go through all the different things around all the people. He just went from the hotel to the arena. So it's. I understand your point.
You're missing the point. The point is, well, who made you sick? How did you get there? Who gave it to you? You're a person.
Yeah.
You got sick.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get better.
Yeah.
Take some medicine or take a nap. And hopefully, like, and I'm saying this as someone who just went through this 4 days that were awful, right? Darius got sick this weekend. Apologize. That's terrible. Ryan got sick this weekend.
Yes,
feel
did.
Awful about that. Probably. I would, dare I say, it had a lot to do with being around me on Thursday. We got things to do here. We got a life to live. We got shows to produce. Broadcast. We got, you know, a NFC championship game to cover. We got football to go watch.
Mm-hmm.
Get better when you get better. You see what I'm saying? But this idea of, I mean, I said to one person, I'm like, yeah, I think there's a chance I think I could just load up on meds. I don't have a fever anymore. I'll put on a mask. I'll be that guy. Kick it like it's 2020. I'll just wear a mask on the plane, double up a, you know, mask. Like, you would get on a plane when you had the flu like yesterday? I guess not. I mean, that was every person. Like, are you? It was like me and terrible dictators in other countries. That's the list because I thought about covering a football game. Enough. It's the flu, man.
Yeah. It's the flu. It's not good. We don't want to spread it to people.
I don't want to give it to people.
You don't want to.
I would have stayed away from Jaden Daniels, but Michael Jordan would have been a villain had he have done that. You guys would have treated him like he's LeBron. If he went out there and tried to play the flu game. Are you kidding me? Bill Weddington could have gotten a cough. What if Luke Longley or Tony Kukoc sneezes? Shut up. I mean, Dickie Simpkins could have been ill. Yeah, no kidding. That's what happens.
What if Ron Harper gets sick?
Right. You kidding me?
Well, what happens if Steve Kerr gets some of your germs?
I don't know. I'll probably hang 40 on Portland. It'll be my flu game. Anyway, that's my little diatribe.
Yeah.
But I did not get to go.
No, you didn't.
But it's not about me.
No.
They won.
They did.
They did.
They did.
You know what? As a reminder, not about me.
There we go.
Yeah.
We got back to it. Full circle.
We did. We certainly did. How much are they going to miss Sam Cosmi? That's the question on Grant and Danny. G&D on the Fan. Hit the phones in just a second if you're waiting. 800-636-1067. Commanders-Eagles Sunday from Philly at Lincoln Financial Field. I know it's going to be very costly. I still expect there to be a lot of fans there. It's just too easy.
It's too rare, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, frankly, if people just drove up and stood in the parking lot and tailgated, if nothing else. It's only a couple hours right up 95. Heck, the best way to travel up there, in my opinion, is the train. I think it's like $120 round trip. And you can go up to and from the game. Don't have to worry about drinking or anything like that. And it's right off 95. I
mean, it's right there.
Yep. Easy peasy. What is that? Probably an hour and 20-minute train ride, tops?
At most, with all the stops, hour 25, hour 30, it's right in there. I mean, take the Acela, it's, you know, right in an hour. I mean, it couldn't be closer. It's a couple-hour drive. I mean, however you want to do it, you can do it.
I'm team train. I love the train.
Mm-hmm.
But no Sam Cosmi. This will be big. He is a terrific right guard. They got by without him. There's just a difference, I think, sometimes in-game when you lose a guy and you're able to use some duct tape and glue to get through the rest of the day, and then a full week of a team preparing for knowing that you don't have that guy to isolate that weakness and to really exacerbate that deficiency, as the Eagles are going to try to do. There's also that Philly, in the area where you directly can, you know, kind of go head-to-head with his replacement, is pretty elite with Jalen Carter. So it's a very scary matchup without Cosmi. But I do think, Danny, you can coach around interior offensive line woes a lot easier than you can a lot of spots. We used to say this all the time on the show, or at least I used to say this all the time. I think defense is more about players, and offense is more about scheme, which doesn't mean you don't need both of each on both sides of the ball. But what I mean by that is, like, I get to dictate personnel on offense. So if I'm weak at receiver, I can go with extra tight ends. If I'm weak at tight end, I can go to 11 personnel and spread you out. If I'm weak at tackle, I'll get the ball out of my guy's hands faster, and I'll, you know, run screens and things to get you up the field and whatnot, right? If I know I'm weak at guard going into this game and I don't have a guy, I can coach and game plan around that, which is better than, say, on defense. If I don't have D tackles, I can't stop you from running it right there. If I don't have corners, you're going to put all the receivers you can on the field. So you're more dictated to on defense than you are on offense. I still think in any normal situation, this would be a death sentence maybe. It'd be a disaster. But it just seems like nothing matters. It just seems like they are on the magical ride, so I've got to assume they'll find a way to get by.
Yeah, it's so what we've learned here through these two postseason games is that the on paper and the logical and the correct in terms of looking at something has not mattered at all, as you just so aptly said. So on paper, a defense or a coordinator will go, there's the weakness, right? If you've seen Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, when Wanda Maximoff, aka the Scarlet Witch, is attacking the Sanctum, she goes, I found the weak link, and then goes through that dude's mind and goes through that dude's portal that he ends up creating because that's the weak link. That's your weak link on the offensive line. With all due respect to Trent Scott or however they decide to do it, Sam Cosby, you went from really good there to replacement level or worse. And Carter, Davis, Williams, and everybody, how they do things up there up front, those guys have taken over games at times. I mean, Jalen Carter, to me, is the reason they won that first game. I know everyone will look at Saquon Barkley ripping things off, or AJ Brown doing some big stuff. Carter was so disruptive, you had to start tearing sheets out of the playbook. Certain things you just simply couldn't do. That when they couldn't get the snap off on that fourth down, and that guy dominated the game. And he's frankly excellent in the first half of that second game before Washington mounted that incredible comeback. So to me, dealing with him is a problem for anybody, let alone where you've got kind of a makeshift situation. And it's not as if you want to give Trent Scott a break. You look over the other side, it's not if Allegretti's been able to handle that guy. So when you start adding up all the different things that they're going to do, Vic Fangio's too smart. That, to me, is the place where this game is going to be won and lost. If things were normal, nothing's normal right now.
Let's go to Vince in Akakik on Grant and Danny. What's up, Vince?
What's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing well. It's so many emotions tied to what's happening right now. And you guys know because, you know, I call in quite often. The other day, I realized I actually had a moment. Your dad says things to you, and he can see you looking at him like, yeah, Dad, you're kind of wrapping me up. And he says, it's okay. One day when you're older, what I'm saying will make a bunch of sense to you. And in the age that I'm in now, you know, I've had a lot of those moments. I kind of had that moment with the Redskins, the Commanders. He used to say to me and Victor all the time, like, yo, y'all going to see one day the glory days are going to come back. And we like, Dad, you're tripping. Like, the glory days are never coming back. We suck forever. So to have that moment now, I wish he was still here so he could kind of see that. But to speak on the Sam Cosby thing, everything you said, Grant, my logical mind says that Jalen Carter is a problem. Now we have a weak link in the offensive line. He's a problem if you have an all-pro guard. Now that we have a weak link, they're literally going to say feast and feast heavily, Jalen Carter. But we're kind of on that run right now. The belief is so thick. The brotherhood is so thick. Dan Quinn has everybody drinking the Kool-Aid with extra sugar that I kind of feel like, not saying that Jalen Carter will be nullified or he won't still be, you know, a monster. I kind of feel like Trent Scott feels like it's his turn on the train now and he can't let his brothers down.
Well, I know this, Vince. It's just how it works a lot of times when teams win a title is the injuries don't matter. Like, you look back and you go, how'd they do it? And you're looking at the Caps and you go, wait, Nicholas Backstrom went down in the Penguin series and it didn't matter? Wait a second, Tom Wilson got suspended and that was just okay? But you had to play this Nathan Walker guy on the fourth line and he got a point right away against Pittsburgh in the decisive game? Like, when it goes the way that results in a parade, these injuries are just footnotes. Now, if you end up losing, okay, then there wasn't the magical carpet ride that we all kind of thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly feel like it certainly is. Let's go to Luke in D.C. What's up, Luke?
Hey, boys. Glad you take my call. Thank you so much.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, first off, I really appreciate how you guys started the show. Pete, it was just really classy and huge miss. But a little bit about, well, not so much about Cosby, but when you all were interviewing Eckler, I was thinking, like, man, that is like Howie Kendrick or Adam Eaton. And then I started thinking about it, like, there's so many similarities between this team and roles and circumstances that people are playing. Like, who's the stopper? Is it Bobby Wagner? Is it Strasburg? Is it Holtby? Like, all three of those are very similar. It's just, as a Washington fan and seeing what's going on now and thinking about the championships in the past, I think a lot of people are playing similar roles. And I thought that was a really good, it's like Dumb and Dumber. Like, I had an idea. Oh, yeah, all three of these are very similar in the roles that they're playing. Does that make sense?
It does. Like, you could see the parallels. Now, again, to Grant's point, if they lose to a really good Philadelphia team this weekend, you know, we won't do that anymore. But it's impossible not to see it. I mean, as the Nationals were doing what they did in 19, you go, I can't help but notice a similarity. Where in 2018, they were thinking about firing their coach if they didn't have a good 2 or 3 game stretch. Right? And all of a sudden, they start ripping off and playing good hockey. It's not the most talented team they had. It's nowhere near the best team on paper that the Capitals had that finally broke through and won it. Same with the Nationals. They had probably 3 or 4 teams that had more talent that were better. Didn't matter. Once they got rolling, that was it.
Ovi, Zim, who's the Commanders?
McLaurin?
Terry. Good one. Backstrom? Maybe Rendon? Who's the Commander?
Allen?
I'll take it.
Especially a couple of playoff games, he's played pretty damn well.
Yeah.
I thought.
He was great this past week. We should do that. If they end up winning, we'll go through and find each player's
a little parallel
comp with the other teams. He mentioned our buddy Pete Medhurst. We have one more tribute for Pete at the end of the show coming up right before 6:30. We'll close out the show with some audio of one of our favorite Pete bits that we do and have done over the years. Here on Grant and Danny, so make sure you're listening for that at about 6:30. Also next, we will tell you about our guest tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. You guys are going to be steamed up.
Bet you'll like it.
It's pretty good. We'll tell you next on The Fan.